my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn, you had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky,
other names, Trade Addicts Pod, let's go.
Hey everybody, welcome to Trade Addicts, session 329. My name is Tommy Blair, and I have a trading problem.
I am Frank in the chat, and I also have a trading problem.
And I am Daniel, and I also have a bad trading problem.
Oh, no. Well, welcome into the show. No Rocky today, no Russ, but I am not alone. I've got the one and only Frank in the chat. It was too good of an opportunity not to bring you on in the co-host chair, man. Welcome to the front side of the show. How you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me, and good to be on hosting. It's always fun to do this, so thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. And we've got a great guest today. Danny, why don't you introduce yourself? Let the listeners know who you are, what you do, and if you'd like, you can plug your socials and do that kind of thing, man.
Sure. So like I said, named Danny. It's fun being on this side of it. So I've listened to Trade Addicts for probably a good, coming up 2 years, probably solid. Just as long as I've been in Dynasty and in the podcast space. So it's been a fun time to see this side of it and get in on this. So as soon as they posted that message of, hey, we need guests, I was immediate on that. I was like, absolutely. I want in. This is cool. As far as socials, the Danny Phantom is my ex. I'm kind of everywhere on that. I'm not really anywhere else, not big on a bunch of socials. But I mean, I have a small time podcast, nothing crazy. I won't really plug it, but I love doing this kind of stuff, content creation. It's a good thing to do.
That's cool, man. Yeah. And anyone else who wants to be a guest, you don't have to be a content creator. Just reach out to Rocky or Russ and we'll get you on the calendar because this is really supposed to be a show for everybody. We welcome anybody who wants to join us. But let's get to know you a little bit more, Danny. How long have you been playing for fantasy football?
So I've been actually playing since I was 10, which is probably not that long for some of you guys out there listening, but it's like 16 years-ish for me. Definitely started playing with my dad. It was a way to connect with him. I basically helped him the first year. We co-managed a team because he didn't want to throw me right into it, which was probably really smart at 10 years old. And then after that, it was training wheels were off and just had a really good time. And it was a great bonding experience I had with him. Me and him have a lot of things in common, but the biggest one being football. We love to talk it and play it and do everything we can with it with him.
Awesome. 16 years. How long have you been playing Dynasty?
So I actually just got into Dynasty in 2020. So just about 4 years. I've wanted to play for a while. Me and my dad have been talking about it, but the league we were in was strictly redraft. A lot of older guys that just weren't interested in much. We got them finally to get keepers in the last year that we were in that, which is right around like that 2019. And then once we did keepers, I was like, nah, I have to do a Dynasty. I have to. And they were still no. So I was like, okay, whatever. Let me find something. I found a random Dynasty league with guys that now are pretty good friends that I knew from nowhere. But it was really cool just off Sleeper, just finding a group and getting that together. So it was a lot of fun and I've loved it ever since. No way I'm going back.
Over the last 4 years, do you have any of the good trades, any of the best trades maybe that you want to share?
Yeah, so I do have a couple. I have a ton. I love trades. So that's why I said I have a bad trade. I love trading. The team management aspect is what I love about fantasy football, like a lot of us. So one of my best. So it's a one quarterback, 12 team, start 10. I had JT, Pittman, and Ayuk And then I added a 24 pick that ended up being the 212 and a 25 late first. I got back Sutton, Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones, the 24-101, the 24-111, and the 25 early first for next year. And that early first is probably going to be the 101 because the team is rebuilding and it's a rough team. So I did all that. It hurt losing JT at the time. This was pre-injury, but at the same time, I knew I could get that King's ransom for him. So I was like, you know what? Let me give this to the Colts fan and let's pray it works. And it worked out pretty well for me. So, you know, I'll take that win. Another one I was in, I was doing a huge – so I – this was last year. I wanted to challenge myself to start in a rebuild almost, if that makes sense. Basically planning for future. I thought it would be fun. I was just like, I haven't done a rebuild yet. Let's try it. So I really sold a lot of my startup picks for the next year's picks, and I ended up with 6 firsts and 6 seconds in this year's draft, and I have 2 firsts and 2 seconds in next year's draft. But that all to say, of the people I drafted, I ended up making a trade after the draft for Jamar Chase, and I ended up getting – or I ended up sending A-Chain, Sky Moore, Zay Flowers for Jamar Chase, which I just felt more comfortable holding on to Chase than those three. A lot of volatile assets, and like you guys in this podcast knows, running backs are not for rebuilds, so wanted to capitalize on the A-Chain value. Got Chase in return, nice safety net, plus all those picks. That team's sitting pretty right now. Nice. And then worst traits, I have one that I can remember. really recent, I sent gave away Drake London before Kirk Cousins was there because I was really scared of who they were going to draft. And I only got back Pacheco and QJ. And then they drafted Ladd McConkey and everything kind of went downhill. So, yeah, not my best trade on that one.
I don't hate that. What do you think about
that? I don't either, but I'm a Pacheco guy. So
I don't know how I feel about Pacheco. That was my main concern because he ended up being basically QJ's pretty well out of it. So it was basically Pacheco or London, and with London's hype, I was like, ooh, that kind of hurts.
I think he lost in value, but if you think about it, the points per game potential it's pretty much the same, right? And so there's going to be an opportunity for you to exit from Pacheco if you want to, and I don't know, a month or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of the plan with Pacheco.
Yeah.
All right. Why don't you give the listeners a guiding principle when you're executing these trades?
Okay. So I wrote down kind of – so my cliche answer would be obviously the one most people – like, make sure the trade makes sense for both parties. It does make it a lot easier, does make things get accepted easier. It is what it is. My kind of hot take on it is the only bad traders out there are the ones that don't counter. I am huge on countering because no one is going to send you their top dollar on an offer right out the gate. And you don't have to get top dollar. You don't have to be greedy. But in the same sense, if you don't try, worst case scenario, you just come back to that first offer if you were okay with it. I mean, add a third, add a second, something. I mean, you're missing out on value if you don't counter.
What do you think about that strategy, Frank?
I agree with it. The only time I disagree with that, with the counter thing, is if someone sends you just like total crap. But if that happens, then they kind of knew what they were doing anyway. And fair. I don't really counter because just out of principle, I am one of those guys who says, you know, this is so far away from what I'm willing to give, I don't counter back because it's not the same conversation. But I agree with that mostly. Yeah.
Yeah. When they're egregious, yeah, it's not worth a counter. One thing that I have done more recently, though, is due to this effect where everybody wants a third or a fourth round pick or a throw in wide receiver or whatever, I've ended trade negotiations sometimes with folks because they always do it. So I think you need to pick your spots a little bit. If you're always asking for that extra third, I don't have time for you. Like, let's figure out a fair deal and move forward. Yeah. If you get a good offer, at least in my opinion, like, sometimes I just take it, you know, I don't worry about the extra liquidity that I could gain because I'll just find it elsewhere in the next deal, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Agreed.
All right, Frank, this is your moment to shine, I think. The next segment is our news and notes, and it's catered by you as it is every week.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, we can just kick it off. The CeeDee Lamb saga updates. Jerry Jones feels no urgency. CeeDee Lamb retweeted it. We'll just stop here for a second. Y'all worried yet or not really?
Danny?
I don't know. I think CD is one of the ones that will sit out. I think if they don't get this done, he's the type of player to sit out. I really do. And I just traded for him, so that hurts to say.
in Pretty Ricky We Trust, right? He mentioned yeah. that he might have a deal by next week. I'm going to live that lie. I think that at this point, you're so invested in CD Lamb that you have no choice but to be optimistic. If he sits out like Zeke did a few years ago, he'll be back by week four, and we'll just deal with the consequences of not having your wide receiver one for a few weeks. It's not the end of the world, but it's certainly not great news.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the middle. I'm happy to hold him, but I'm scared of doing so. JJ McCarthy, knee surgery, fixed torn meniscus. We don't know how long. Obviously, that means it's Darnold for a little while, so I don't think this affects anyone too crazily. Josh Downs, high ankle sprain, out 4 to 6 weeks. Kind of, you know, sucks, but it is what it is. The crazy one today was Tyrone Tracy, non-contact injury, got off on the cart, but apparently it's actually an ankle injury and not as serious as we thought. So don't get rid of Tyrone Tracy yet. Don't start selling him for nothing. Hollywood Brown, shoulder injury, out 4 to 6 weeks. Tyreek apparently had this injury a few years ago, was out 4 weeks. We should see him by week one. Juju, cut by the Patriots. I think we'll see him somewhere else very quickly. Do you guys have a place you want him anywhere or not really?
Do we think we'll see him anywhere?
I do. I think he's a Steeler or something like that. He'll go back somewhere, be a veteran minimum something.
I mean, granted, OBJ can find a spot in the NFL, right? Still. So that's, Juju yeah. maybe, but to me, I don't think he'll be anywhere that's significant enough to warrant anything too much.
He's fallen into irrelevance. There's, I don't know, 80, 100 wide receivers that are probably going to be more productive than him if we're playing the odds. And so let someone else pick him up.
Yep. I hope he goes back to the Chiefs or Pittsburgh. Hockenson should be back in the first half of the season. This is my commentary. I think he starts on PUP and comes back shortly after. So hopefully we see him soon. Gibbs, hamstring injury. I think the redraft people are more worried about this than the dynasty people, but we'll see how this goes. This is actually a bigger one than I kind of put it on here, but Watson's cleared for contact and he's playing the third preseason game. So are you guys buying back in? Are you guys buying Browns receivers? Are you buying any Browns? What are we doing with Watson coming back?
What do you think, Danny?
So as a recovering Texans fan, as we're doing great now, I do have a little love for Deshaun Watson, no matter how that situation ended. So I told myself at the end of this year or at the end of last year, this is my last year buying into him. So I have been buying into him, but if it doesn't happen this year, I'm done. I'm out. It's over. I'm done with the fairy tale. He's failed too much, but I think he's got it. I still think he does. I just got to wish.
Mm-hmm. It's always been a matter of not only the acquisition cost, that's a factor with every single dynasty asset, but it's the perception of this asset as well. If you're going to trade for Deshaun Watson, you need to be prepared to carry him for the rest of his career. If you're not willing to do that, he's not the asset for you. I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen, but you have to be willing to do that. And that's very unlike most dynasty assets because this is trade addicts, y'all. Like, we love trading, but people hate Deshaun Watson and probably rightfully so. So you just have to make the bet and stick with it, knowing what you're getting into.
Yeah,
I will say this gives a great opportunity if you want to buy low. I got him for 2/3 in a super flex league.
No way.
I'm not kidding. Nice. And in a super flex league, a starting quarterback with the potential. Listen, it's a great window because, like you said, people really do hate him. And for multiple reasons, these injuries just gave another reason and they're ready to dip on him.
Yep. Very quickly, who's your number two Browns pass catcher behind Cooper? Njoku, Judy?
I think it's Njoku without a doubt. Okay. I love Njoku. I have since he got drafted.
Yeah, he could very easily pace in terms of point scoring Amari Cooper. Njoku is a screaming buy right now still. I know that a lot of the Njoku production was not with Deshaun Watson, but that offense is still designed to feed the tight end. And this is a very good tight end as well. This is not, you know, somebody falling into production. He's an elite prospect who has finally come of age to the point where he should be producing this way. The draft capital suggests it. The RAS score suggests it. It's just, it's his time right now, and the market hasn't fully realized what it is that they can get out of Dave Njoku.
Yeah, I'm so burned by Njoku, but for so many years that I'm scared to buy, but I'm with you. We'll wrap up the last few quickly. Rondale Moore, season-ending knee injury, sucks. We hoped a lot for him as a Falcon, but, you know, we'll see him next year. Raiders will announce starting QB after this upcoming preseason game very quickly. Who do you think it is? Minshew?
I hope it's AOC, honestly. I love Minshew. I want to see AOC at the helm again this year.
I kind of do as well. We forget that last preseason, he was showing out. Aiden O'Connell was somebody that the fantasy space was pretty excited about because he was making clutch throws. He was making them at volume. We're just kind of burnt by the fact that they didn't throw in the second half of one game last year because they were up big. Yep. Does Aiden O'Connell have it? I don't know, but he's so cheap. I'd love to find out.
Well, yeah. That's my thing too, is you know what Gardner Minshew is. He's a low tier quarterback that, you know, he's going to fill in the gap and do decent. He's going to do well. I mean, he almost got the Colts to the playoffs. So you know what he is. So it's not like week three, week four, O'Connell's just absolutely done absolutely nothing, but thrown lame ducks. Okay, now let's put Gardner Minshew in. You still have a chance. I mean, your division's tough anyway. I don't see the benefit of really throwing Gardner Minshew out there. He's not going to teach O'Connell anything. He's not like this great vet that's going to teach O'Connell this thing. So why put him out there?
Because he's going to sell some tickets.
That's fair.
Not only that, these coaches want to win games. Like the NFL space and the fantasy space they diverge here, where this coaching staff's livelihood depends on getting around 500 at least. And if they don't, they're out of there probably. And so I think we need to be cognizant of that and just say, like, it's probably best for Davante Adams if Minshew is playing. Yes, we want to see Aiden O'Connell, but is it what's best for the football team in the short term? That's still debatable.
Yeah. No, I'm an Antonio Pierce fan, and I hope they give him a lot of leash because I think the Raiders are what they are right now and kind of rebuilding, and I hope ownership sees that and gives him some leash to figure this out. But we'll do these last two. Ayuk watch continues. Mike Garofalo, a couple hours ago, the Niners and Ayuk are close to a deal, hopefully, and that's why they haven't done the deal with the Steelers yet. And then the last one is a little more concerning. I understand players play, but Chase didn't show up to camp today. He's been showing up and holding in, but today was the first day he didn't show up, and Zach Taylor's calling him day-to-day. So are you guys worried about Chase at all? Like Lamb, kind of like, you know, he won't be ready for the season type of, you know, soft tissue issues or something like that.
For some reason, I don't have a lot of concern with Jamar Chase in this case. And it comes back to last offseason when Chase was recommending to Burrow privately and publicly that Burrow rest this calf injury and that he train off to the side and come back when he's ready. I see a consummate professional. I see somebody who knows their craft, knows their body very well, and has always been prepared in college and in the NFL to perform when it matters. I don't have those concerns, but I'm open to having my mind changed. Danny, do you have any concerns there?
I have zero concerns for a very similar reason. I see Chase, and the most recent example I think of is the top 100. If you saw that come out when he was talking about number one, he didn't even want to say Pat Mahomes' name. He is a professional, and he is a competitor. Yeah. He's the guy that, yeah, he's going to do some things. He's going to like sit out maybe the preseason because really that doesn't matter. And he's going to try and put some pressure on. But when it comes down to week one, he wants to win. He wants to make it back to the Super Bowl. And he wants to win that sucker. And he's going to do whatever he can to do it.
Yeah. The biggest concern I would have is not the player or even Joe Burrow. It's the organization itself. They've mishandled Carson Palmer. This is an NFL franchise that doesn't come from the big mega bucks that some of the other franchises do. The Brown family, they're very wealthy by American standards, but by NFL standards, they're cash poor. similar to the Raiders. And so I wonder if this is a cash flow issue that is a challenge for them to meet what is probably going to be well over $100 million that needs to be paid directly after paying Joe Burrow. Like, this is real money that they have to set aside in escrow. And some of these franchises can struggle to come up with that kind of cash.
I think a lot of NFL and even fantasy, if they pay attention to, but I think a lot of NFL fans don't grasp that, like the finance side, not just like the salary cap, but like, this is real money that we're using. And it's not just, oh, we have this money to spend and this is how we know, like, this is people's real money that they have to come up with and put down. Like, this isn't a joke.
Yeah. No, I mean, to your point, Tommy, this happened with the Raiders with Mac a few years ago, right? And that's how he ended up on the Bears and to the Chargers eventually. But, yeah, I mean, it's clear that, you know, Higgins is probably gone and Chase is now up for being paid and who knows, right? The only thing that scares me about Chase is people don't get, I don't think, that he's kind of sneaky injury prone. I don't think he's played a full season yet. He might have his rookie year, but he hasn't the last couple of years. And, you know, I just hate seeing him not warmed up and ready to go. It just gives me a little bit of pause. But
The hip injury,
obviously not to sell him. Yeah,
the hip injury from 2 years ago was not an insignificant injury. Like, it was one that there was a chance that his career was over. Like, it wasn't a huge chance, but it was there. And so I do think we need to remember that a lot of the ceilings that we see aren't permanent, and Juju Smith-Schuster may be emblematic of that.
Yeah.
All right. You know, I've got kids, y'all, and I was just thinking, looking at all these different news items, mostly injury and contract related, like a month ago. So the Lego movie came out on Netflix and I was watching it with my little boy. And there's that song, like, everything is awesome. That's the non-point scoring season. And we've certainly exited that. Like, Lego movie for sure. Too.
It's like, hey, it makes my job easier. Cool. So it makes my job a lot easier to make some news. So no more Brandon Ayuk is posting Instagrams on TA anymore. So, you know.
Exactly. But
yeah, that's crazy.
Did we touch on all the relevant stuff? Do we have anything?
I think so. Unless you all have anything on my stuff I burned through. So.
Yeah, any final thoughts on the news, Danny, or are we ready to move forward?
I mean, the only thing I'll add is just the Jerry Jones stuff. I mean, they said they were going all in, and then they didn't. So you just never trust the Cowboys. So who knows? CD could be in a different uniform like Brandon Ayuk. I doubt it, but could be fun to see.
Something super weird is happening there because Parsons 100%. Hasn't been extended. Dak hasn't been extended. There's some weird stuff happening with that, and I don't know what it is, but something weird's happening.
Yeah. Yep. At this point, we give the listener the option. We've got a whole bunch of Trade Addicts trades and some really good listener questions. Which would you like to do first, Danny?
I mean, there's a reason it's called Trade Addicts. Let's get to the trades. I can't wait longer. Gotta get that hit.
Fair enough. All right. Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team super flex PPR with 1.75 tight end premium and 0.5 points for return yards, except for TA1. Which we don't have any TA1 trades today, so no need to get into that. So first trade was out of TA2. Joe Mixon or Tyjae Spears and a 2025 second. Why don't we kick it to you first, Danny? What do you think about this trade? Do you have a preference?
I lean Joe Mixon. It's hard for me because I have to put my fanship aside and I have to make sure I do. And I still come out of this with Joe Mixon. I liked Tyjae Spears last year, bringing in Tony Pollard at the price they brought him in and then making that backfield look like it's going to be a split. I don't love it for the immediate value of Tyjae, and I don't love it for the confidence then that they're showing in Tyjae. Definitely worries me a little bit. Obviously he's got the talent. He could break out. He could take it over. Absolutely. But for Joe Mixon, for me, if what I see is if Devin Singletary can do what he did with us with a pretty much the entire O-line, aside from Laremy Tunsil, was second string at the point that he was doing what he was doing, I think Joe Mixon's going to be just fine. And he's going to be a mid-tier RB1 at least for this year. So give me that. And, you know, they let them take the mystery and the intrigue. I'll take my certainty at least a mid to low tier RB1 for at least 1 year.
Frank?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's mixed in here. This feels like a contender trading to a rebuilder type of trade where, you know, you get Mixon off your team if you're rebuilding. But I think if you're contending, Mixon, like Danny said, is probably low-end RB1, high-end RB2 for this year. I think it's a better offense than what Cincinnati was last year. And I don't think that's super hot take because Browning was the quarterback for a good chunk of it. But and he was still RB5 last year, Mixon was. So I think, I think Mixon's going to get his this year and kind of be where he has been. So I think it's a good trade for side one.
Yeah, a low-end RB1 in this trade addict scoring is around 15 points per game. A low-end RB2 is around 13 points per game. So we're losing a couple points. I think I might fall on the other side of y'all just to build in a little bit of injury resiliency, saying that these guys probably are going to score within a few points per game of each other. I know Joe Mixon in Trade Addicts Leagues was going for a soul 24 second last year. And so I'm wondering, can I do more with that future second? Can I either have the flexibility against injuries, or can I double down and fill another starting spot and make up those extra 2 or 3 points per game with that pick? But I think it's fair all around. Don't you, Frank?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'll ask a question back. Would you rather have Mixon or Pollard then?
It doesn't matter to me. They're all kind of the same. Yeah. This whole tier is the same to me, in my opinion, especially in these types of leagues where you only have to start one running back, one wide receiver, one tight end, one quarterback, and then you get a whole bunch of flexes. It's a choose your own adventure. And so I think that I will pursue running backs cheaply because they're cheaply available. And this gives me that flexibility towards it. So maybe I can get Tony Pollard for that. Or I think there is a similar profile that I can purchase for the second.
Yeah, my theory on the Titans is those running backs, whichever one's lower, buy that one because they're probably going to be the same running back at the end of the year. So
yes.
I don't know if Danny, you feel the same way about that, but
yeah, I think the best thing I've heard is Tajay take the 1-2 and Pollard take the 3. I think that's great for Pollard. I don't see Tajay as a 1-2, but they're going to score very similarly. I don't see either one really taking the lead. It's going to be hot hand and go from there. So just not much confidence on either one, honestly.
Yep.
All right. We've got another TA2 trade. It's a little bit bigger. It's quite a bit bigger. Side one, Garrett Wilson, Kyle Pitts, and a 2025 second. So pretty significant. Four, Aaron Jones, Justin Jefferson, and Isaiah Likely. Danny, break this one down for me.
This one is, for my philosophies, this is a smash except for side two. I love this for side two. I don't know what your guys' experiences are. Getting the top three wide receivers, really top four wide receivers, top two quarterbacks, like those upper echelon tier of their tiers is impossible. I mean, you have to give everything. And for me, anything you got to do to get those guys to add them to your roster if you can is phenomenal. Garrett Wilson, I don't think has reached that tier for me. So that's really where this comes into a smash accept. I think you're looking at a lot of potential on side one and a lot of dreams on side one. But you're looking at Justin Jefferson, who is still a wide receiver one with what Josh Dobbs and their third or fourth quarterback as well last year. So, I think when you have the chance to get the wide receiver one, you get the wide receiver one. Another touch, I'm not a huge fan on Garrett Wilson. I like him. He's produced with terrible quarterbacks as well. But my thing is he's about to go through that carousel. He is going through the carousel. He had Zach Wilson. He had like three different quarterbacks 1 year, and now he's coming into another different quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, and then next year probably another different quarterback. And so that uncertainty I don't love. And yeah, he was still a wide receiver two with those random quarterbacks. But I want my wide receiver one, not wide receiver two. So I'll smash except Justin Jefferson, even if this were just for Justin Jefferson. So getting Aaron Jones and Isaiah Likely as throw-ins, I'll take it all day.
Yeah, I'm dreaming. Give me Garrett Wilson and Kyle Pitts. I'm taking all upside. And I am falling for this Jets team again, and I know I'm a sucker, and I'm okay with it. But, you know, I think Garrett Wilson's entering that Jefferson, Chase, Lamb, Amon-Ra tier this year is my, you know, one of my predictions for this season. Let's just do complete downside and say Rodgers gets hurt. Tyrod is a better backup than anything they had last year. And I think in terms of kind of the future, as Danny was just saying, for those who don't know, I am a huge college football nut and I watch a lot of college football. Jordan Travis is the truth. The reason he fell so far was because he busted his knee really badly at the end of the college football season. But he's a Heisman finalist. He will get some playing time and get some looks as he gets healthier down the line. But yeah, I'll take Garrett Wilson and the 23, I want to say, year old upside that he's going to be. And Kyle Pitts is somehow like 16 still. So I think he's going to, you know, continue to have upside. And I'll take the second alongside. I think Aaron Jones is, you know, going to be splitting more with Ty Chandler than a lot of people think. And as much as I pimped Likely in the news last week, I think he's probably still Isaiah Likely. So I know it's Jefferson, but give me the upside on the other side.
Typically what I like to do in 12 teams, start 11 or fewer trade offers, is just figure out who the best player is in the deal and find a way to get them. This one's a little bit different though for me. This is an interesting trade because Garrett Wilson's first read targets, his first downs per reception, his 168 targets, like those don't happen by accident. They're all really good predictors of elite performances. And so I think I agree with you on some level that Garrett Wilson is primed for a significant breakout. He was held back by just truly inept quarterback play. And Kyle Pitts, kind of the same thing there. I'm wondering if Garrett Wilson will get you Justin Jefferson straight up at some point this season, if the J.J. McCarthy injury is
a crazy thought, isn't it?
It's yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And not only that, but with this 1.75 tight end premium, I kind of like the concept of getting into two or three of the top six tight ends. And this is a great way to access that. Isaiah Likely is whatever. Aaron Jones for a 2025 second feels about fair. And so it really comes down to, would you rather have Garrett Wilson and Kyle Pitts or Justin Jefferson? I'll split Justin Jefferson in this situation. I never thought I would say that, but I am finally at the point where if I can get this type of deal where I'm getting what I think is about a 40% boost on value, I'll take it. This is worth the squeeze, in my opinion, because the upside of the Garrett Wilson and Kyle Pitts side is tremendous. It's league winning. While Justin Jefferson is, he remains an elite asset regardless. It's just not how I would try to get into Jefferson.
Yeah, to your point, Jefferson's the best asset when you think about that, right? But 2, 3, and 4 are on the other side, like exactly, when you go down that list. So, yeah, no, it's a good point.
Moving on to TA6, we've got another trade here. This one was actually done on the couch in Canton during the expo. I'm going to pause right here. Were either of you at the Fantasy Football Expo?
I was not.
I wasn't.
Man, no shows here. Next year, for sure, I want to go. Do y'all have plans to go next year?
I'm hoping. It's on my bucket list, so I got to find some time to do that.
Yeah, I'm trying as much as I can.
It's tough to get there at the time of year that it's usually happening, sort of around the kickoff of the preseason, because a lot of families are doing like their final vacation of the year. And that's what bit us this year, where it's like, all right, we're out of town and we can't go to Canton because that's, I mean, I'm sure it's a lovely place, but it's not the first place that we would take the family outside of the expo. But this trade was done at the expo. So if you need extra incentive, you can get deals done, apparently. I'm going to give a little context. Adam wants to take down a giant. J Mike did the J Mike Invitational a couple of years ago.
Legendary.
Yeah, he had all 12. I think he had like 13 of the top 14 picks. drafted a super team and just rolled it into a juggernaut. It's unbelievable. I'm actually in TA6. One of the,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I adopted an orphan and have just been floundering for a year or so. Enough context though. Side one, Jaden Daniels, Michael Mayer, and a 26th third, or Dak Prescott and Trey Benson. Frank, why don't you analyze this trade for us? Tell me which side you prefer.
I'll take the Dak side. I understand Jaden Daniels is the shiny new toy and all that stuff. I think he's very good. From what I saw, I didn't watch a ton of preseason this weekend, but I saw his highlights and he looked pretty good. Benson, not so much, but I'm going to trust that's rookie jitters and assume the workload's going to be there at some point. I think Dak, and he continues to be this, is one of the most criminally underrated quarterbacks in this space, because for some reason, I understand it's probably Cowboy hate and people are tired of talking about the Cowboys and watching the Cowboys and all that stuff. And I totally get that. But Dak continues to just put up numbers and no one appreciates it. And he went completely nuclear at the end of last year. And I think, assuming Lamb comes back and all these pieces come back together, I think they're going to be just as good this year, if not better. And let's roll with Dak and win a title. Let's go with it. So, Danny, what do you think about that?
I think that they are rolling out Ezekiel Elliott as their RB1 and CeeDee Lamb as a possible holdout. If I had clarity on that situation, I would be happier choosing the Dak and Trey Benson side. At this point, I don't want either side. I think I do end up choosing the Dak side just because of the proven talent, but I don't feel happy about it. I don't feel comfortable too much about it until CD signs or says he's going to play or something like that, and where I know, okay, he's got his number one target, he'll be okay.
Yeah, this is a case study of risk tolerance and really an inefficiency of the market, in my opinion, because you couldn't get the 102 for Dak 3 months ago, and now we're both talking about like, hey, I don't know, I kind of like this Dak side potentially. Do I want to take the 50-50 bet on Jaden Daniels? Like, the upside is certainly there, but if we look historically, it's not much better than that if you're looking at Jaden Daniels' draft profile. And so the conservative move as a contender would be to say, give me Dak Prescott straight up on this side of the deal, because not only has he done it, he's done it repeatedly. He's been an elite performer. He has been paid and proven that he can do it without a full complement of weapons. Right now, there is an elite wide receiver who will probably show up soon, hopefully.
Hopefully.
And can just soak up 175 targets and none of us would be surprised. Not only that, but Brandon Cooks is not dust yet. I know it wasn't a great year last year, but that's really not a bad wide receiver too.
He's a good number two. Yeah,
he's a sneaky good wide receiver too.
Yeah. Dak is also willing to pass to the tight end, to the running back. Like, it's all there. It's fundamentally sound. Is it sexy? Absolutely not. But it is the core component of a winning dynasty season to have a player like Dak Prescott. What you're losing, though, is trade value. Dak Prescott is very unlikely to be worth more 12 months from now, 24 months from now, than what he is today. And so what you're saying is, I'm just going to lock in on a contending window, knowing that eventually, if and when I choose to rebuild, this is not going to be a player that is going to return value. Think Kirk Cousins from a few years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll say two things too. Is the first being, so it's ironic, and on my podcast, I talk on Jaden Daniels. We talked a lot of draft talk. Neither of us were huge fans of Jaden Daniels. We thought he had some good deep ball accuracy, and he has great straight line speed, but he's not Lamar. He's not a rusher like Lamar. He's got straight line speed. He's not going to juke and go crazy with it. He's got that point A to point B, and he's going to get there really quick, and that's great. He's going to get fantasy points off that. That being said, if it were Jaden Daniels for Dak Prescott, I would probably take the Jaden Daniels side. I say what makes me end up forced to take side two is the Trey Benson addition. Getting that safety at quarterback that you know is going to perform for at least a year, and hopefully they get his contract and it's not more of this contract nonsense with the Cowboys. But then you add on the Trey Benson, the probable future running back of the Arizona Cardinals. That's an up-and-coming offense now. I think that that's kind of like the cap that goes, okay, I'll take side two for sure.
Yeah.
The final thing I'll add with Trey Benson is not so much a value take, but a we need to give these players more rope, specifically at the running back position, because they're learning the cadence of their offensive line. This is a timing issue that he was running into, where he was just sort of smashing into his offensive lineman's butts. It takes a while to learn how the offensive line, that offensive line moves, and when to explode into and through the hole. So let's wait a couple more weeks before determining that Benson is a bust. I just wanted to throw that out there real quick.
Yeah. And I wasn't saying he was busting. I know he had a rough week this week, and I know people were kind of down on him. Yeah. And people are pimping DeMarcado again, because of course we are.
Ew.
Because he's catching balls again. But yeah, I think the only point I was making on Benson is I think he's more of a longer term asset than something you're going to use right now. I think Connor and DeMarcado are taking this backfield for now, and we'll see Benson probably later this year, if at all this season.
That's fair.
And I think another big thing with running backs, like, and I noticed it especially last year, because obviously I'm a Texans fan, and Damian Pierce looked awful last year. Absolutely awful. Yeah. And I am a huge, anyone that knows me, I love Damian Pierce. That first year he came on great, and it's because of the scheme switch. I mean, there's a lot of things that can make a running back either look great or look terrible when they're great or terrible. I mean, it has to do a lot more than just their talent. It's finding the scheme, learning the scheme, learning your teammates, learning the O-line. It's the whole kit and caboodle. So, I mean, I think there's a lot to Trey Benson, and to he's got plenty of rope, I'm sure. They liked him there.
Yep. A few more trades to dig into. In TA9, would you rather have Jordan Addison and a 2026 second or DK Metcalf? Let's start with you, Frank.
This is so easily Metcalf to me. It's not even close. And I understand Addison had some really good years and or weeks, I'm sorry, last year. But Metcalf, just in terms of pure upside and what he can be in this new pass heavy offense, is going to be crazy. And I think this is basically Addison or Metcalf straight up. And I think this is so easily Metcalf given QB situation, even if it's Geno. And I'm in the camp that thinks Howell's going to take it at some point, but I think this is so easily Metcalf. And I don't know if Danny agrees with me, but this is easy for me.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think I'm a smash except DK. I'm just – the only way I think about this, or, like, really give it hesitation and, like, hey, like, maybe I don't want to get rid of Jordan Addison, is if J.J. McCarthy were to have followed up his preseason performance with an even better one, and then been named starter, and then you're like, okay, they have a really confident quarterback. Then I might go, like, okay, Jordan Addison has something plus a second. Let me hold on to this. But without that – I get it. Honestly, I'll be honest. I don't know that Geno lasts this whole year. I think he's might be sat. So, but even with that, I think DK is one of those quarterback proof wide receivers. His size, his speed, everything he's got going for him. I think he's going to be okay. So I'd definitely take Metcalf in this.
I'm personally pro Geno, but I agree with both of you. I think that. Well, what I hear is Peter Howard at PA Howdy sort of screaming into the ether right now, team small boy. Jordan Addison, he's got the profile that, like, is really encouraging. He did really well his rookie year, buoyed by some crazy touchdown scoring. But I think the main slight against him is perception, and secondarily that he's small, short, and skinny. And that doesn't really matter in today's NFL, but what really matters even more than that is red zone targets. And DK Metcalf, the ripped one, he just gets them consistently. And it shouldn't layer year over year, but it seems to. And I kind of want to chase that, because he's due some touchdown regression. And I think that he's in for an incredibly significant fantasy year. I could see this being sort of the promise that was never really delivered, except for that second year where he had 10 touchdowns. We could have another one of those where he finishes as wide receiver 8 and we're wondering why we buried him.
Yeah, no, it's a big deal. I think, you know, Lockett's going to get his. I think JSN's going to kind of be there, but I think this is the DK Metcalf welcome party. And I think, you know, the thing I think about with Addison and Metcalf, when I think about what their upside is, Addison's looks like he catches 2 60-yard touchdowns because he got open behind someone. But Metcalf's is that game against the Cowboys where he just catches a stupid amount of balls and gets in the end zone and beats receivers every time. And it just feels more attainable than what Addison does, where he gets behind a couple of people and catches 2 bomb touchdowns, and that's how he gets to wide receiver 1 for the week. But Metcalf is, and it's probably just, you know, the gym picture dancing in our heads that he can just be that super freak of an athlete, but it is one of those guys who I just keep coming back to, and I'm okay getting hurt on if Addison ends up being the better guy, because I think it's more likely right now that Metcalf is the one who finishes higher.
Yep. All right, Danny, would you prefer Kamani Vidal, Ladd McConkey, and a 2025 second, or Devon Achan?
I think so. I don't, this is one of those you need a team almost, but I think it's Achan, and I don't know that I hesitate too much, especially with Herbert's injury. I am a huge Herbert stan. I love him. I love his goofy, his personality. I get addicted to a quarterback's personality, and that makes me have some affinity towards him. I love his personality. He's a good guy, it seems like. So I love the Chargers offense. I love Herbert, but he is always playing hurt. He is going to play through this injury. This injury is probably going to linger with him because he's going to play through it. And I don't know how much confidence it gives me in Ladd McConkey, especially with Ladd McConkey's injury history. And so then you've got that great uncertainty, and I feel like that's been the kind of the theme of me through this show so far. But I feel like give me Achan's, you know, even 5 to 10 touches over that grouping of picks and players, I would be much happier with that on a daily.
Yeah, I've had plantar fasciitis. It is very uncomfortable. I'll say that it is like shards of glass in your heel, and your foot gets all spongy and gross, and it's very uncomfortable for 3 or 4 months. So that is what he is going to be dealing with. It's a pain tolerance thing. And then fundamentally, just being able to plant your foot is going to be incredibly challenging. On side one with Vidal, McConkey, and a 2025 second, those all feel like potential buy low targets right now, like assets that I want to have. I don't know if I want to spend Achan to get into these, though. I think there are different ways that I want to access these profiles. And so for me, at least, I would prefer Achan. I think the ceiling is fairly significant. This is the type of running back that succeeds in today's NFL. Will that change? Will linebackers be forced to get a little bigger? Will these umbrella coverages eventually be broken? Yeah, I think that this is a cyclical endeavor. But for 2024, Achan is sort of the archetype that we're pursuing. Incredible speed, great contact balance. He was something like 6 yards before contact for the first half of the season. Like, that is incredible. It speaks to the scheme itself and then the player as well. So there's just like a ceiling that is really difficult to find anywhere outside of Christian McCaffrey. Frank, what do you think about this deal?
Yeah, I think this is easily Achan. You know, I like McConkey fine. He's not what everyone thinks he is, in my opinion. I think McConkey was the product of a really good offense at Georgia who, you know, was open because they were putting 9 men in the box for Georgia's run game. But Vidal is weird because, you know, there was a report from Daniel Popper of The Athletic who said Jarrett Patterson is actually the third running back for the Chargers right now and not Vidal. And I think this is another one of those rookie isn't going to see the field as much as everyone thinks he is types of situations. And, you know, if you're rebuilding, fine, but this is kind of a slam except on Achan, because the upside is, I think, as people have said, is McCaffrey-esque upside. because he can catch, he can run, he can get those 80-yard touchdowns if he wants it. But, you know, I think this is all centered around what you think of McConkey, and I just am not going to buy McConkey until I see it in the NFL. So
that's fair. You don't have to. Final trade. One more thing.
I also think this is a really good opportunity to talk about Josh Palmer, a guy who came in when both Keenan Allen and Mike Williams were gone, like they are now, and was a wide receiver one easily. Just absolutely slam dunking. Do I think he's going to be a wide receiver? No, but I think there's a lot of potential there, and I'm getting him really late in some drafts, and I'm absolutely loving it. I think he already has that built-in chemistry with Herbert. I think he's a sneaky good buy right now.
Yeah, the Chargers wide receivers are the Titans running backs, right? Buy the last one, and you'll be happy. Like, you know, don't sell the first for McConkey. Sell the second for Palmer and be happier.
Absolutely.
Fair enough. Let's close out trades. Side one, Garrett Wilson, once again, in an arbitrage to Devonta Smith and Brian Thomas Jr. Danny, break this one down for me, please.
Yeah. I'll start with saying I'm not a big fan of Devonta Smith. I think he is very hit and miss type of a player. I think he has really good weeks and then he has really average weeks, and it's hard to be consistent when you're lined up across from AJ Brown. I totally get that. But now that Goddard's back and he's going to be in the system, they've got Saquon. There's a little fewer targets going around. I think Devontae Smith is not going to be some wide receiver, low end wide receiver one, even mid tier wide receiver two. I think he's going to be mid to low tier wide receiver two with all the target regression. I love Brian Thomas Jr., but they just brought in Gabe Davis. They have Christian Kirk. They have Evan Ingram. So these are two guys, both in systems, with a lot of mouths to feed. And then you've got Garrett Wilson, who really – you've got Mike Williams, sure, and Breece Hall. But, like, Breece Hall's got his production fine. But I don't know that I'm a big believer in Mike Williams, especially post this injury. So really, he's one of two mouths as opposed to two guys that are one of four mouths. I'll take Garrett Wilson pretty easily in this system.
Yeah, Danny and I need to argue some more, but we're thinking too aligned. I thought
we were on this one because I'm not a Garrett Wilson fan, but I just
I'm with Danny completely. I don't think Lawrence and this offense supports like four wide receivers or pass catchers, I guess is the better way of putting it. I think Ingram and Etienne are just guaranteed 50 catches at this point, and you have to split the rest among three or four wide receivers. So I know there's a lot of people who are higher on Brian Thomas than I am. I'm apparently the guy who hates all rookie wide receivers. I didn't think I was going to be that person, but apparently I am. I like Devontae Smith fine, but if you want to stack him next to Garrett Wilson, I think it's night and day. So my opinion on Garrett Wilson was pretty kind of prominent before. So I'll throw it over to you, Tommy. I don't know if you agree with us here, but yeah.
Well, this feels like a starting lineup requirement question
it
to
does.
Me.
Yeah.
So in TradeX, like I said earlier, you only have to start one wide receiver. And one problem I've seen in the roster construction of most of my league mates and most of Trade Addicts is the rostership of far too many wide receivers and the wrong profiles as well. I think that the optimal construction is either at the very top or at the very bottom with minimalist constructions.
Yeah.
Running backs are so cheap to acquire. Tight ends are so important. And quarterbacks are always fairly important in super flex leagues. And so the rostership should look different than it does right now. And so if I literally only had Garrett Wilson and I could split him into Devonta Smith and Brian Thomas Jr., I would consider that. If I was in a start three or four wide receiver league with multiple flexes beyond, I would consider tearing down from Garrett Wilson. But what I don't have to do in this format is that. I can just start one wide receiver and I can use a bully tight end approach, or I can use an elite quarterback approach. I can use multiple running backs, which we know is just a war of attrition, and we can hammer different running backs throughout the course of the season that have no value today, but will 6 weeks from now. I would prefer to just leave Garrett Wilson in my lineup every single week and not have to pick between Brian Thomas Jr. and some tight end, Pat Freiermuth, let's say, or a running back that is all of a sudden seeing starting opportunities. I would rather play the low value running back than have to roster Brian Thomas Jr. I'd rather consolidate him into Garrett Wilson and just say, you know what? That's where my chips are at the wide receiver position. If he fails, then I'll trade into one more wide receiver. I need to be a little bit more minimalist with this type of starting requirement and this deep of lineups, because backup quarterbacks matter, backup running backs matter, and you can stream tight ends in this format.
Yeah. Do you think the need for more depth stemmed from last year where more people, it felt like, got hurt than normal, right? We lost both Bengals receivers. We had the quarterback, you know, I hate to use the word, but epidemic. And like, you know, do you think that's why people are stacking depth more this year than ever? Because it feels like people are so scared to have their top guys go down and have nothing to cover them. And that's why you do this trade where you tear down probably a tier from Wilson to Devontae and add Thomas's depth. So do you think that's kind of why people are adding depth like that?
I think the college game has transferred to the NFL, and we have an influx of quarterbacks that we're excited about. We had an exodus of the old guys, the Ben Roethlisbergers, the Drew Brees, and then there was this gap for a year or two. That's been filled now. We have quarterbacks we're excited about, and so we have more offenses we're excited about. When you have good quarterbacks, you feel excited about the pass catchers as well. I think there is a bubble that's about to burst somewhere between wide receiver 30 and wide receiver 80. And I just don't believe that those positions matter as much as they should. If you look at the warp curves, they're going to be a lot flatter moving forward. That's my guess, at least. Historically, they're still not that significant. And so what I think we're seeing is a valuation that doesn't match production, because production matters less at wide receiver. And when you only have to start one, you should be treating that almost as a have to, as opposed to a want to.
Yeah, agree.
I think to go with that too, especially since, I mean, you've been watching college, you keep up with college, like the big thing that we know, a big influx of talent just came into the NFL, and yep, everyone wants a piece of that. I mean, you've got four or five quarterbacks that people think are going to be the starters for a long time. So you've got four or five wide receivers that people think are going to be these incredible talents, and history shows us they're not all going to work out, yep, but it's hard to look at those guys like Brian Thomas, like Marv, and say, someone's going to fail here. Yeah, but who? So everyone wants that new toy that looks amazing. And it's so many just came in that I think people are willing to downgrade and go, you know what? I want that new toy bad enough. I'll go from Garrett Wilson to Devontae Smith.
Yep. Yeah. Here's a little teaser for 25 before we move on. Luther Burden's going to be the truth.
Absolutely.
People are going to love him.
Insane.
He's a wide receiver out of Mizzou. Tommy, if you don't know who he is, check him out. People are going to love him when he's in the NFL. So
great. Another wide receiver.
There's a couple.
There's a couple big ones coming.
Yeah.
That breaks my dead heart. Moving on to listener questions. This one's for you, Frank, specifically for you. At FF Trader Joe asks, when is Frank going to get his own fantasy football news app?
I have one. It's called the Trade Addicts Podcast.
There you go. Tune in every week, Trader Joe.
Yeah.
So I did follow in Russ and Rocky's footsteps. When we solicit questions, we ask some silly question. I asked, so in the honor of the South Park premiere, which happened today in 1997, what's your favorite animated show or movie? Why don't we go over that real quick? Danny, do you have a favorite animated show?
I do. So my parents both worked. My grandmother practically raised me. Her favorite show was Tom and Jerry. So that's a very, not exactly the same realm as Simpsons, but it's a definitely nostalgic thing. I forced my nieces and nephews to watch it with me a couple times. There's something about it that brings me back to childhood that I absolutely love.
Totally. What about you, Frank?
Yeah, honestly, for me, it probably is South Park. Just I came up through their growth or, you know, decline, whichever way you want to put it. You know, Family Guy and all that stuff is always fun to have on in the background there. Those are the shows that you throw on when you're doing something else and it's, you know, you're going to catch a laugh every once in a while. But I had, you know, I was into Tom and Jerry and all that when I was a kid. So, yeah, no, absolutely. I like them all. I don't have really a favorite, probably.
We got a lot of really good submissions. We got Futurama, mm-hmm. Ren and Stimpy, Moana and Coco, yep. X-Men, the animated series. So glad yep. they're bringing that back. And my favorite maybe was the new Spider-Man movies with Miles Morales.
Yes. Yep.
So friggin' love cool. Those you know?
Yeah. They're probably my favorite superhero movies, honestly, like more than the Avengers and all that stuff. Those are just great movies to just throw on.
Yeah. Yeah. Love them. We got a few more questions to get into, though. We're running a little long, so I'm going to keep it moving. Joseph Fry at JFry80. How bad does your team have to be in order to go into a rebuild or retool? At what point in the season do you make the determination to rebuild? If you determine to rebuild, do you sell off assets to get to the very bottom or just set yourself up for the following year? A lot going on there. Danny, what do you think about this question?
So I don't know that I've gotten, obviously other than that forced rebuild that I started in a startup, I don't know that I've gotten to the rebuild point. So I don't have a bunch of experience to tell that much. I think for me, what I'm looking for, if I'm going to rebuild, at least in my mind, is am I having fun with this team anymore? If I'm not winning and I'm not having fun, let's blow it up. Let's make something else out of it. Let's get into something where I can have some fun with a team. I enjoy my members, stuff like that. I feel like that decision, I wouldn't know. So I'll kind of leave that one up to you. As for when you determine, do you sell off assets? For me, you have to know when to sell. You don't sell veterans in the off season. You don't sell rookies in the mid season. You got to learn your league. Hey, are people going to panic when it gets to the playoffs because they don't have enough depth? Watch your league mates. Hey, this guy has had two quarterbacks injured. He's starting a person. You just have to be a very active manager to do that rebuild because you have to know your league. You have to know your league mates and you have to know your seasons of trades. And I think those three are going to be your biggest things in how to properly rebuild.
Yeah, I'll give my answer quickly because this definitely feels like a Tommy question. But my answer is if you are middle or lower and injuries are not the reason for it, it's time to sell off. And if you need to sell, try and think about players that will be there 3 years from now. And if they're not there, get rid of them. That's my quick answer. And I will throw it to Tommy.
Yeah. I really struggle with this question. Because we don't know how good or bad teams are right now for the most part. If you look at the bottom 4, 5, 6 teams in any of your leagues, they all kind of look the same, don't they? Like, we don't really know which one's going to be the worst. If we have their first round pick, we think that team is probably going to be the worst. But the truth is we don't know because there are outliers that pop up all the time. Kyren Williams, Puka Nacua most recently, but it happens up and down every single year where James Robinson carries a team that you thought was horrible to the playoffs. And so like, we just need to embrace a little bit of that uncertainty, in my opinion.
Mostert's a good one like that too, right? No one Absolutely. Had that last year.
Exactly. It happens every single year. So it's opening up access to that high upside at this point in the year and saying, I'm going to give it 4 weeks. The first few weeks are the most predictive of whether or not you're going to have success. I like to look at the total points that I've scored in my lineups and the efficiency of that. So do I need to consolidate into profiles where I have clearer starting opportunities? Do I have too much depth perhaps? And that's the problem that I'm having. Do I just have a bad team? Have I hit injury bad luck? Do I have enough liquid assets to trade in week 4 and say, no, I am a contender. I can make up this point scoring gap between myself and the other playoff teams. But I like to look at week 4 as my target and say like, all right, this is the point in which I am going to hang tough because I'm close to being a contender. I'm in the top 6, let's say, in points scored or top 8. And I see a path forward because I'm roster constructing more effectively. And maybe I know one of my league mates, he gives up or she gives up. at this point in the season because it's uncertain whether or not he or she is going to be contending themselves, and they're willing to push themselves into a rebuild. Can I facilitate that? Can I buy some of their contending pieces and say, screw you, you're going to have the 103 and I'm going to have the 110 or the 111 because I'm going for it, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I like to do at that point. If I am going into a rebuild, I typically don't love buying draft picks because at that phase of the season, it's a scramble. There are a few folks who really want to do that and maybe one or two teams that have already consolidated some of the future picks. I'm more apt to buy injured players, players that I think are going to have a runway in the off season, in the non-point scoring season, to maybe have a bump in value. We saw that with Kyler Murray this year. He was injured. Now he's what, a top six or eight quarterback? He was QB 18 last year. That is a significant jump in value. If I'm in week four and I don't have a contending window, that's the type of profile that I want, where I can hide the potential value gains. I can hide the future points per game. And I can say, I'm going to be at it next year because I'm going to have vets that I know are good players. They just got injured this year. They just Joe Burrowed and their elbow gave up on them, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Gollum thinks at Geronimo Rambles asks, please discuss how a potential absence of Gibbs could trickle down to usage in this offense. Frank, what do you think about this?
Yeah, this is going to be big for another guy I'm not done with. This is going to be big for Jameson Williams, in my opinion. And give me the little wide receiver screens and the swing passes and all these other things that are going to get him out in space. A lot of the same things that Gibbs does. And it doesn't necessarily all have to be deep balls. I think there's going to be some very creative uses for Jameson Williams this year to use some speed out in the open like he has been used at Alabama. And I think being able to catch passes out of the backfield or even kind of like, you know, little screens, like I said, is going to be big for Jameson as he replaces Gibbs. And I think obviously Montgomery is a top 12 wide or running back, sorry, if Gibbs is out with for any significant amount of time. So, Danny, what do you think?
I think this may be our first disagreement. The marriage is broken.
Finally.
So I am an anti Jameson Williams. Not because he wasn't phenomenal in college, but because of his production in the NFL so far. And then also for that Lions offense. That Lions offense feels like if you're cool, you're cool and you'll get the ball. If you're not, you're on the outskirts and it's a very select club. I went back and the only instance I could find of actually Jahmyr Gibbs not being in there that wasn't, you know, when he was a rookie really not getting in there, was week 5 and 6, which is still super early, so it was hard to tell. But in that 5-6 week combo, Montgomery was there week 5, and he wasn't week 6. That week 5 window when Montgomery was there, his usage took up all of Jahmyr Gibbs' usage. So basically, they went back to the Jamal Williams role. They just hammered. Mm-hmm. That's what I feel like it's going to be. I don't know that they're going to give those. I mean, they may give a screen or two and some long balls to J-Mo. My faith in him to convert those into much has kind of dwindled, unfortunately. But I think it's more so going to go, you know, a target or two more to both Laporta and Amon-Ra, and then a bunch more carries and maybe some targets to David Montgomery.
Yeah, I think I'm more on your side, Danny. I think that we're going to see a bit of compression in the offense. Amon-Ra, to me, is going to get his targets regardless of who is on the field. Like Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase could be on the field. And I think there's a certain degree of target share that is just allocated to Amon-Ra because he is that good at what he does. And so I don't think the Gibbs injury affects him quite as much as the other assets on the field. I could see Laporta being more of a safety valve, a PPR type weapon. He was oddly pretty good down the field and he's a decent blocker among tight ends, modern tight ends, at least. He's a very good blocker. I'll throw out a deep sleeper, and I'm probably going to mispronounce this, but there's a former safety / running back who got drafted this year in the 4th round, Sion Vaki, I believe is his name. Mm-hmm. He was actually a high school running back mate of Najee Harris and has been getting a lot of really interesting camp buzz from the Detroit Lions. I think that there's probably some sort of potential gadgetry option here. Think like Taysom Hill without the throwing acumen. Think of a player who nobody really knows how to use, but they're a quote-unquote football player, for whatever that means. I wonder if there's going to be a little bit more of an expanded opportunity for Vaki to show that he belongs on the offensive side of the field and not just as a potential safety. I think we could see an offensive weapon here, and at an acquisition cost of literally nothing, that's not a bad, I don't know, $1 waiver bid to throw out there.
For sure. Yeah.
All right. Hope that helped, Gollum. Steve Molina at Bruce Wayne 0305. With the news of McCarthy, what price do we feel is fair for Darnold in Superflex? I don't want to overpay for a possible rental, but what if surgery makes him go on PUP, that being McCarthy, or worse, out for the season? Danny, what do you think about this one, man?
This one goes through a lot of the meniscus problem. So for me, I like Darnold. I'm a little pro Darnold. I think he got a bad situation after bad situation. He looked good in San Fran in his first actual chance. So I like Darnold. I hope him the best, and he's still, what, 26? He's not old. He's on a one-year, $10 million contract. I think this is kind of a prove-it for him to show it to other teams. So I think what this question is kind of not thinking is next year he's still probably going to get somewhere. He probably will not be with the Vikings because someone's going to pick him up to be their hedge starter, stuff like that. So I think you've got in Sam Darnold a mediocre quarterback that will be a great QB3 on your roster for at least a couple years, emergency QB2 if you need it. I definitely am not wanting to pay a first for him. Absolutely not. But if you have like a guaranteed late first and you can throw in like a second on their end or a third on their end, or if you've got a couple seconds burning a hole in your pocket, I don't think that's a horrible price to pay for someone who is going to be in a good offense this year and next year most likely would be a starter and will probably do well. With this injury, McCarthy could be out a couple months if it's a full repair. If it's the smaller end, it's a couple weeks, and that's great. But also, I like to hedge my bets on worst-case scenario and just be happy if it's not.
Frank?
Yeah, draft pick value, this is a 25-second, and I don't think it's much more than that. I think, you know, that pick value will cover downside if McCarthy comes back and plays well, and upside if Darnold stays in. I am a bit more of a McCarthy hater. I know I'm keeping pessimistic on this show, but I'm a bit more of a McCarthy hater than most.
Frank, I think it was a lot of.
I do. I really do. I kind of hate this class. But I think he was a little bit of smoke and mirrors at Michigan with a really good offensive line and a lot of weapons. But I think there's a chance Darnold starts all year. So yeah, let's throw the 25-second on there. And if I need to throw like a third at some point, that's fine. But I'm not giving much more than that.
Where do y'all think Darnold finishes from a points per game perspective? Quarterback, what? Quarterback 20, 30?
Top half.
Top half? 16?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I'd be comfortable saying around 16.
16 in points per game would be Anthony Richardson tier at 19.8 points per game.
But that was over what, two games? He didn't play that much.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, points per game.
Okay.
In total points, the quarterback 16 would have been Justin Herbert, who, again, he was about 20 points per game. I think that might be a little bit optimistic, but if we're looking at, I don't know, the quarterback 30 in points per game, because we get those spike weeks from folks, right?
So I guess we're talking 4-point touchdowns, correct?
I think this is six.
Six?
Yeah.
Okay. I would feel comfortable thinking he would. I mean, I would feel comfortable with that. I think Aaron Jones is a receiving back, and I think Justin Jefferson, TJ Hawkinson, once he comes back, I think there's a high passing volume in that offense.
I wouldn't put him over Will Levis or Derek Carr, who are somewhere in the 14 to 16 points per game, which if you look at like the overall cast of assets, like, that is a startable player, but that's like, I don't know, the 60th best player. Tank Dell could fill that spot as a rookie, you know, where he was sort of building his resume and then took off. I wonder if I could maybe just fill this super flex spot elsewhere and hold on to the draft capital and try to find the next quarterback, whoever, you know, the next Sam Darnold is going to be, because we know that last year it was what, like 60, 65 quarterbacks. We've had a high watermark of 72 quarterbacks have a meaningful start in fantasy football in one season. That feels like it's about the norm now. Anywhere between 50 and 70 quarterbacks are going to have relevance. If I don't have to pay to get into that right now, I'm certainly going to avoid it and just say, like, I'll catch the next one whenever they pop up.
Yeah, if it's me, I'm buying Brissett for half the value or half the capital, because he's going to probably – he probably is going to start all year. They're not rushing May in at all. And he's been playing, I think, all the first-team snaps. So Brissett's going for a third. Go do that instead.
Yep, good advice. All right, that is the final question. So that is the end of our show sheet, which means this is the end of our show. Danny, I want to thank you for coming on as a guest. I want to invite you to plug your socials one more time.
All right, well, I guess that's it. So that my Twitter, obviously, the Danny Fanton. I'll also put the small plug here. So my small little podcast, if you want to listen, if you want to see, talking strictly football. Did a lot of off-season stuff this year, so a lot of the team management and rookies and college guys. It's hot takes only. To me, I'm a Houston Texans fan, obviously, with merch in the background, stuff like that. And it's with me and my brother-in-law, who's a Colts fan, so that inner AFC South rivalry. We get a lot of talk on there, a lot of smack talk going back and forth. It's a good time. So feel free to give it a listen if you can.
As a Jaguars fan, I did my absolute best not to hold that against you.
I should have known. Having the fourth best quarterback in that division must hurt.
It's too bad to be here anymore. Frank, I want to thank you for exiting the chat and entering the conversation today. It was a pleasure, getting to meet you. I've never actually spoken with you before in person, so that was a pleasure for me. And I just appreciate all the insights that you provided today. It was great chatting with you.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks for having me. You guys can find me in the chat all the time.
It was an honor to meet the Frank, okay? I heard you were joining, and I couldn't stop smiling.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, man. Also, don't forget to follow Fantasy Cares. They're criminally underfollowed for everything that they do. They're still doing the live streams. They're still doing giveaways, donations. It's just an organization that y'all should be following if you're listening to this show. Also, maybe follow the show, you know, at TradeX Pod. I'm at FF Tommy B. Follow Russ at Dynasty Outhouse. Rocky at FF Trade Addict, I believe. Mm-hmm. He's got a really cool show going on, league going on right now that sort of shadows Survivor and fantasy football. So he's still looking for folks. If you guys are interested in an interesting league, something wildly different, go check that out. But that's all we got for today. Thank you so much for our guest. Thank you so much to Frank. We're going to end it here. Bye, y'all.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy fans, that is the best. See ya.